Triple M's.
Oh! That has gone sideways!
My word!
That has gone sideways!
Oh. Cricket Fan Podcast.
Bloody hell!
A dirty one for the Aussies on day two of the Oval Test, with Steve Smith's requisite heroics not remotely enough to keep a Jofra Archer-led England outfit from taking a handy first innings lead. Triple M Cricket Fan Podcast is here to take you through the whole lot of it. I'm your host, Rudy Edsel. I'm joined by Tommy Beers.
G'day, Rudy. Good to be here.
And the Sunday specialist taking on an upgrade, Ryan Lever. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, mate.
How much of the game did you blokes get to watch last night? I missed a fair chunk of it because I was at the Geelong footy game. I imagine you were similar,
I'm
Ryan.
I'm in the exact same boat. I was at the footy, got home, and then almost crashed about after about half an hour of it, I reckon.
Mm. It was all happening because the footy was on and that took most of our attention. But the Boomers were also playing in the basketball and that one went down to the wire. And then the cricket was on at the same time. And it was almost too hard to keep track of everything at one point there. But
on the basketball, so the members, the MCC members at the footy, obviously, a whole bunch of the members were down in the bar, in the bull ring, including you, Ryan.
Yeah, I was there.
So during the
front and square,
during the moment of silence for the life of Danny Frawley, something's obviously gone on in the basketball, and you just hear deep in the bowels of the members this muted, timing, dear me.
I was fortunately in my seat at that point, so wasn't involved in the loudness. Went back down to watch the catch.
He's washed his hands of that one pretty quick, hasn't he?
Shouldering arms, the lightsaber sleeve, like Steve Smith.
But I saw most of the middle session.
Yep.
Once the footy was done at about 10:30, like thereabouts, and then toughed it out through the tea break and watched a little bit of the last session as well, and eventually hit the hay. But
Steve Smith, a little bit again. He's now made 50 plus in each of his last 72 plus in each of his last 10 Ashes.
He missed out in the last innings. Only 80.
He did a
Joe Root.
He's let himself down out there. What a pity. What a pity, Stephen.
Stephen.
So in those 10 innings, he's made two double centuries. Jesus Christ. Two double centuries, three single centuries, and then a bunch of 90s, 80s, and 70s. And he's won the Ashes twice. So he's had a decent little 10 knocks there. And he's been banned for 12 months for cheating.
It's remarkable to think where we'd be without him in this series. We marvel over it every time he bats and go, geez, thank God for Steve Smith. But we would be a basket case. That top order would be a
nowhere.
Without him. And he just keeps doing it. And he just didn't look flustered at all. We take the piss a bit saying, he missed out getting 80, but that was still a clinical 80. Like, he batted bloody well.
Yeah, that's right. And he's just needed someone to go with him, didn't he? So Marnus made his 48 and then got out.
More disappointing was the other two.
Matthew Wade, I've been waiting for him to do, so he had that ton in the first test, and you sort of thought, all right, here we go. Matty Wade, he's going to do this. He's going to repay. You know, you've been saying for about 2 weeks in the lead up, busy to me in the office, you just watch. Matty Wade is going to be on a rampage. He's going to be making runs. He's going to force him to pick him.
Yeah.
And then he looked pretty good in that second dig in the first test. And then he's done nothing since, Ryan.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing at all. It is disappointing. But he's not alone, is he?
No, he's not alone.
Well, he'd be disappointed himself. He set the platform for a really big series and he's just been kind of exposed a little bit. And I thought this, it was, when he came in, the conditions were perfect for batting and he got himself in and he hit a couple of fours early. He was about, I think he finished on 19, I think he was about 13 off 15 balls or something, and he was knocking them around and he looked really confident. And, you know, he's kind of, when he goes into his shell, that's when he looks most vulnerable, but he came out, played his shots within reason, not charging down to Jack Leach trying to put him into the next postcode, but kind of silly stuff. But he came out, played aggressively, and I thought, here we go. This could be the one that we're aside from that second innings ton in the first test, that we go, we've got a middle order batsman, you know, we got one. We've got a guy who can get the game and take it away in the first innings of a test and set it up for us. But again, just found a way to kind of get out, and then Marsh did the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, 17 runs from Mitch Marsh is more or less what, you know, it's
half of the course,
isn't it? The median, you'd think. Tim Payne, I suppose, also not that surprising, Ryan, that he didn't, he didn't. He made another one. You know, he's put together one innings of real substance this series. It helped win us the Ashes.
Yeah.
But disappointing.
Yeah, Verne, you've got to wonder if he was a bit, I don't know, he wouldn't be rattled, but everyone straight away jumped on his back the other day when he sent us into bowl first up. And maybe he's thinking too much, did I make this mistake? Oh, now I've got to make up for it with a bat. And then he overthought it and he's gone one off 15.
I'm giving massive credit here to Sam Curran. He set him up absolutely beautifully. So I stuck it out and I was watching this part of the game. So this was a really important wicket. And if we had have kind of put on another 50 at that point, Smith's still in, obviously, protect the tail a little bit. So I thought, I'll stay up and watch it. But Curran set him up beautifully. He was bowling these big, his left armor, just swinging it back into the right hander. And then the odd one, he was just rolling his fingers across the seam and just, it was going straight on across to the court. And so they had three slips. So he'd set him up, innie, and he'd try and get, he got himself a bit stuck there, Payne, playing around his pad.
Yeah.
There was a couple of half shouts, they were going down leg or whatever, but he never looked comfortable. And then Curran just bowled a ripping little off cutter straight across him, feathered it.
Yep.
Bowling and masterclass, then, really. Like, yeah. That's how you bowl. As a left armer, that's how you bowl.
They've really, they should have had him play most of the series.
I was going to say, surely at least they could have been using a similar rotation policy to the Aussies with their pace bowlers.
And well, they did. The one that they rotated in was bloody Overton for some reason.
And Wokes didn't play in that test either. Like,
yeah, that was that, they lost the Ashes with that selection. Yeah. Really,
Curran adds an extra element to that attack, and he didn't get all the wicket. Like, I'm sure we'll touch on Jofra soon. He got all the wickets, but Curran just added something different to this attack, and it's like Australia had never seen a left-arm bowler before. Like, they were so used to facing these right-armers that they've been seeing all through the series and through the World Cup as well, I guess. But it's like, well, and we've got Mitchell Starc in our touring party, and it's like they've never faced a left-armer when they saw him. Like, it was unbelievable.
Yeah. It's been that sort of third seamer that's almost been a bit of a problem for them all series, hasn't it? So Stokes is, you know, he's not bowled brilliantly all the time, and
being
a
bit
can't
injured.
Bowl now.
Yeah.
And then Wokes had not done the job. Overton was just a stuff up. So it makes a big difference for them.
And Bolotz has been calling for him.
I was about to say, don't give too much credit to him, but should we mention that the one day that Bolotz isn't here?
they've had a good day, and
Curran's bowled well.
He out-bowled Nathan Lyon?
We'll say it's a coincidence, but Bolotz didn't quite get the call up to come on today.
We thought they're the first time they had a good day for the series. That we thought,
let
him have a little sleep.
No one wants to hear that. No one wants to hear a happy Bolotz on the show.
I gave Curran a little bit of a rap for him, so I'll just say that's on his behalf, because I reckon I've cut it in half to what he would have gone on. He would have gone on and on about Curran, because he's just been banging on about him last month.
We'd still be going at lunch tonight. I think. It'd be the longest podcast of all time. Jofra Archer, as you mentioned, he looked quick, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when a fast bowler actually bends his back. Yeah. Nice of him to save his best for a dead rubber when there's nothing to play for. Where was this in the last test? When
it was on the line. Yeah. Now,
oh, I'll just bowl within myself with this new ball and let Smith and Labuschagne just get their eye in. And, let Broad get the openers out. And I'll bend my back, you know, once they're face 50 balls each and are already on, you know, halfway. The damage is done.
Yeah.
Come on, Joff. You're still a myth, mate.
Tom Beers. I can't wait to you to be the Nets batsman he bowls to.
That's all right. You're just, you know, duck and weave.
Yeah. Dave Warner. Ryan. Dave Warner. What do we do with a problem like Dave Warner?
Well, I've got a positive about Davey Warner.
Oh, okay.
He didn't go out to Stuart Broad.
The bunny.
Well, let's see. I mean, nice to have one positive, but there's not too many others. Well, he hit a four.
Clutching it.
There you go.
Yeah.
But
he got off the mark.
Yeah.
It's the little wins.
That's a massive win.
Yeah. We'll this take series. Whatever we can get.
I saw on the coverage last night there was a shot from Channel 9. They had a poll with the Aussie fans. How many runs will Davey Warner make? And even the Aussie fans, for 50%, voted 0 to 10.
Oh, yeah.
There was no faith.
I don't think... Oh. I think David Warner's offside with most of the Aussie pub the best of times. Yeah. But when the chips are down, I think they're pretty keen to stick the boots in.
I think so as well. Yeah. And he's the kind of guy that he's very unlikable, really, in his own way. So it's not that big a jump for anyone in the cricket viewing public at all to to really jump off him.
Stunned they picked him in this test. Like, it just
I would have thought it would have been better for everyone concerned.
Well, you've got this is your chance to give kind of blood some guys. Like, with we don't need David Warner to win us this test match. So you go, that's the thing in the back of everyone's mind. He's a match winner. But
yeah.
Why wouldn't you try and give a guy like Bancroft or even give Kawaja? Kawaja's record opening the batting is exceptional. But yeah. He hasn't had a great series, but his numbers are 10 times better than what Davies are in this, series.
You can give Davies a spell, bring him back for the first test down here in Australia, where he's going to make 7 million runs.
Speaking of Davies' numbers, we put a tile up earlier on Triple M Cricket that Beardsy discovered that now during this series... David Warner's made 84 runs, which is 4 less than the amount of boundaries Steve Smith hit with 88 fours.
Yeah, that's incredible.
I couldn't believe it when I stumbled across that one. I was like, what?
And he's hit another 5 sixes as well.
Yeah, that doesn't count the ones going over the rope. Yeah, it was unbelievable. He's hit more balls to the rope than Warner scored individual runs.
That's incredible, isn't it? But it's been like that for nearly all of the batsmen, other than Steve Smith, to be honest. The Warner's not made runs. Harris, Bancroft didn't make runs. Rory Burns has made runs somehow. Yeah. No other opening batsman on either side has made any runs. Root struggled. Labuschagne's made some runs. You know, it goes down the whole list.
My favourite thing about Labuschagne's from last night's the whole series when he's been playing with Smith, he just makes himself a half Smith.
So
Smith only gets an 80 last night, so Labuschagne gets his 48. Yeah.
There's that stat floating around out there that our very own Ethan found has been lovingly curating, where Steve Smith has top scored in every innings for Australia except for the 3 where he couldn't bat.
Yeah.
And then Labuschagne. Yeah. So it's been it's been Smith or half Smith, as you said. It's just been
it's really the safest money in the world.
Yeah.
Like, Smith... top score for Australia. Put your house on it.
He must be running at Winks odds now, surely.
Well, I mean, Winks is running at Steve Smith at this point, I think. All of this, this horrible day for Australia exacerbated in the couple of overs that they got to throw down at the English openers where Joe Denley was dropped by Marcus Harris.
It was a pud too.
Oh yeah, you've made the point. If Joe on our rundown, if Joe Root comes in,
it would be massive in for the context of the game because we've seen this happen a number of times. When he fields all day, he's no good when he has to bat later that day when he's under fatigue. Often he's sent in a night watchman a couple of times already, and
he would have done it.
I reckon he would have as well. But at least we get a look at
Leach.
I guess he'd be it'd have to be. But still, just no, like, it's a terrible situation if they're 1 or 2 down at stumps. And it also evens the game up massively if we can get those couple of wickets.
Yeah.
There was a there was an LB that I don't know why that was given out off.
Yes.
Kumar Dharmasena had a bit of a stinker.
I think he's had a bit of a Joel Wilson.
He went full Joel. But that would have been nice if that one had have just stayed our way and it rightfully overturned. But Harris's drop catch is quite costly.
He's made no friends, has he, Marcus?
Yeah,
no.
Last couple of days.
They've been...
He's still pissed, I reckon.
That footage of him with Tony Jones.
Even Chompers. He's been heckling Chompers.
He's just been reliving
just spraying him with champagne bottles and all sorts of stuff.
A little bit of the bubbly. think the Aussies have not really come to the races with this one. This is a real 90s England setup here where they've won the Ashes and there's just absolutely no way.
Well, it all started when we bloody... chose to bowl, didn't it?
Bizarre few.
That was a half-cut decision, I reckon.
I think Tim Tim Payne's just decided to ramp up the degree of difficulty.
Yeah.
It's been too easy winning these Ashes. Yeah.
Maybe his backup plan is just Smith and Mini-Smith get out there and just bat out and we just get the draw on the last day. Bat 200 each.
If they were still pissed, that would have been surely the best option. You just set Smith down and go, all right, we'll just go have a nap in the
game. I think the bowlers wouldn't have minded a bit of a spell, but...
Yeah, well, Nathan Lyon with his glued-up finger. He's going to... none of it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
All right, so what do we think will happen tonight, boys? Ryan?
I'm going to go confident. A couple of early wickets. Mm. We'll say they'll be, 3 down by lunch. And then
just roll through them?
Yeah, roll through them.
Fair enough.
I'm less confident.
Yeah.
I think we've just kind of, like we're saying, we've kind of clocked off.
And you're playing the Bolotz role today?
I'll fill in for him. I think, we don't have a heap to play for. The bowlers are fatigued. Like they're spent. So I don't know how efficient those guys will be later in the day. We were lucky that Mitchell Marsh took 5 wickets in the first innings. Like that was fortunate. So
we're gonna need him to Andy Bickle it up again.
Yeah,
just move around corners.
Well, I'm not as optimistic, but it doesn't really matter. We've got the urn; they can get stuffed.
Fair enough. I think I'm sort of with you a bit, Beersy. I think that this is absolute prime time for your Stokes Bairstow Butler types to really make some hay.
I feel like it's a Bairstow type. Flat track.
Yeah, for sure. You can see him chucking his hard hands at everything.
Yeah.
It's all just missing the slips, going for 4, and then, all you know, the next day, all the English fans were wearing Johnny Bairstow masks.
very good.
But that is enough from us from day 3. I think tomorrow they'll probably get you a little bit of bloody fix in, enjoy that while you can.
The Sunday specialist
will be back. Indeed. All right, so we'll see you tomorrow.